Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. We're doing a festival today. We're talking about a creep who put on a festival that was a total fraud, and it's going to be so much fun. But before we get to him, I just want to say thank you to our new Patreon members.
Yay!
If you join us, our Patreon page, and it's Patreon, looking up What a Creep podcast, and we have new members, Vivian, Karen, Vante, and Alexandra. We put out bonus episodes. We put them out like every other week or so, and we really kind of talk a lot of tea, spill tea, excuse me. We're going to be talking about Scott Rudin, and I have some real dirt on him that I wouldn't put on the regular episode. So that's going to be on there. We'll talk about a guy named Jensen Karp, who's a total fuckwit. I mean, there's a lot going on. So if you want to join the Patreon page, five. If not, we get it. If money's tight, and that's totally fine. Yeah. Just tell a friend about the show. You can find us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at CreepPod because somebody had What a Creep for 10 years and never used it.
Creep!
We have a basic Facebook page where you can go and complain about our language.
That's our basic bitch page.
Exactly, because we use salty language just to let you guys know. We just let the curse words fly.
Fuck yeah.
Don't bother trying to change us on that. But we do have a private Facebook group where people can hang out, and it's a really nice group. We really kind of keep it clean there. We get rid of the creeps.
Well, clean. Clean, quote unquote clean.
I mean, what am I trying to say? It's like a nice...
You can't... We have a no asshole policy. If
there,
you show up
better.
And start... If you start acting like a dick, we're going to kick you out.
We're like Shonda Rhimes, no assholes on our set.
That's right.
Exactly. Okay. We're on Instagram at What a Creep Podcast, and we have a basic email. It's kind of an old-timey email address, whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. Just spell out What a Creep Podcast. We have stickers if you'd like some stickers. They're so cute. We don't care where you are in the world. You don't have to be a Patreon member if you want some stickers. We'll just send them out to y'all. So that's where you can get some stickers. And Sonia, tell them about the website real quick.
Yes, you can go to whatacreeppodcast.com, and everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast is there. There are links to all of our episodes and our merch shop. So if you want to get our cute, adorable logo, everybody drink, on a tote bag or a lot. I saw someone with their laundry bag so they could literally carry around their dirty laundry. I'm into it. Stuff like that. And the shirts are very soft and comfortable. I love my shirt. And Calvin, my son, wears his Mommy and Margot shirt all the time. He loves it.
Also, we want to thank two people for leaving us 5-star reviews in iTunes. That's Bandit Rocks and Olivia 1990. Thank you guys very much. We love it when you have really cute nicknames in there. But wherever you get your podcast, be sure to subscribe. That way you'll never miss an episode. And Sonia, is there anything else to talk about before we dive in?
No, I think let's do it.
All right, gang. On April 28th, 2017, a tweet blew up the internet from Trevor DeHaas. He's at Trev4President, and that's the number 4 in there. It was a picture of a very sad bread and cheese meal saying, "Here's the dinner they fed us tonight. Literally slices of bread, cheese, and salad with no dressing. Hashtag fire fraud. Hashtag fire festival. Hashtag dumpster fire." This was day one of the fire festival fraud. I never heard about it until this cheese sandwich showed up on the New York Times the next day.
That was when that tweet went out. Like every other tweet in my timeline was somebody retweeting that tweet and like commenting above it. That's all it was. And I was like, oh my God, what is this cheese sandwich that I am seeing over and over and over and over? It's amazing.
Well, it was a festival that happened in the Bahamas Never heard about it because I'm old and they wouldn't want me there. I would complain about not having enough sunscreen to protect me. Mm-hmm. But it was perpetuated by a 25-year-old Fire Media CEO and founder, Billy McFarland. Hundreds of people were left stranded. Millions of dollars were borrowed and never paid back. Here is the story of one of the biggest and youngest fraudsters we have covered on this show. And my sources are the Firefest Wikipedia, of course. Oh, the Firefest, there's the intro clip that I wrote that down. It's the first clip that they put out that featured all these gorgeous supermodels.
Oh, yes.
And it looked amazing. I have that clip. By the way, it's in our show notes. So I have that clip there. NME, Ja Rule sells cheese sandwich for NFT. I don't know what any of that means, but there's a link in there for you. BBC, CNBC, CNBC's American Greed TV series, Washington Post, Netflix's The Greatest Party That Never Happened, Vulture, Vanity Fair, ABC, Vogue, they had a first-person account, and Hulu, Fire Fraud.
Oh, so good.
They were released within like 3 days of each other. So it was like a weekend. Everybody learned about Firefest. It was great. So William McFarland is a Jersey boy. He was raised in Short Hills, New Jersey, which is a very nice she-she part of Jersey by the shore. He was born December 11th, 1991. I feel so old. He was bright and attended a fancy pants K through 12 school, the Pingree School, which
it wasn't just called Fancy Pants School.
No, it's the Pingree, which is a terrible name, but it costs $40,000 a year to go there. So his parents were doing pretty well. They could afford that. He was precocious. He said that when he was 12, he broke into the school's computer system and manipulated things. He says a lot. Most of it's a lie. So did he do that? Did he not do that? Who knows?
He probably just saw War Games like everybody else.
Shall we play again?
That's a really good impression.
Thank you. By the time he was 13, he said he was helping businesses overseas with their company websites.
Sure.
Jim. For college, he went to Bucknell University, which is in central Pennsylvania, but he dropped out in his freshman year because he wanted to be, in his words, a serial entrepreneur, and he was ready to make money. Look, he was 18. He had shit to do.
Mm-hmm. He's busy. He's too smart for school. He's too smart.
And there's something you need to know about Billy. He is very, very charming. He's outgoing. He has this like perpetual smile on his face. He knows how to work a crowd. He's great on television. He's great talking to an audience. Like, he's just super adept in that. And he's also extremely ambitious. If you just mix that together, and there's a lot of hubris that can happen, let's just say. And that's what happened with him. He had a few ideas in the tech world that seemed interesting and would get some attention by investors and press, but they didn't really take off as they were similar to other products like Google Plus. He was trying to create something called Squiggle, and it was the same as Google. Like, you could exchange photos and videos and whatever. Who gives a shit? Anyway, he basically had no interest in getting a job. He just wanted to create a company and then do his own thing. And it happened for others. They were just as ambitious. So why not me? That's what he thought to himself. He then came upon an idea when he saw someone use an American Express Black Card. Do you know what those are?
Yeah, they're like super. It's like American Express, even like more high end.
It's like a diamond level or something.
Right. And like a really high limit or something, right?
Yeah, basically unlimited. It's very bougie to have a Black American Express card. Like, you have a really good credit rating. And he thought to himself, what if I create a credit card, a Black credit card with a person's name, but on the back, on the stripe, you know, that stripe with all your information, it's your ATM. And so you can look like you're a big shot, but basically you have like $20 in the bank.
Got it.
Got it? So he orders a metallic sheet from China, and cuts it down to a credit card size, and then practices by using his own ATM card. He takes the strip off, he glues it on there, and then he goes to the ATM and it works. So this is when he came up with the idea for the name is called Magnesis, which is
that's
the worst name. Somebody said it sounds like a condom, like it Magnesis.
100% sounds like a condom.
Or those pills you take, you know, because you can't afford Viagra. So Billy talks about when he was young and he first moved to New York, I wanted to know all the places to go, where to fit in. I'm like, when you were 19? But yeah, he meant that. In 2013, he was 22 years old when he was able to get $1.5 million to fund this startup, Magnesis. And this is the basics. You pay $250 a year, and then you can have access to unique events. He also rented this very fancy apartment downtown, and he would host events there and parties every single night. And celebrities started showing up. It was kind of the cool place for millennials to hang out. He was doing all of the business shows on cable TV, you know, like Squawk Box or whatever the hell they call that, you know. That guy?
Yeah. Jim Cramer?
Jim Cramer, yeah. And he just, you know, they talk about the stock market all day, and they fill it up with people, mm-hmm. these interviews in between, and he would go on there all the time because he was just super dorky but kind of cool. You know, he was like, he was adorkable. He looked like that anyway. He was just a really good salesperson. And he appeared on the top, like TechCrunch and all those top publications. He had moxie. That's what I wrote in my notes. He had moxie. Yeah. The problem was he was promising things he could not deliver, like Hamilton tickets or Adele tickets. People would make reservations and then they would get canceled on them. People thought they were going to get all these exclusive things and they got offered crap because $250 a year is not very much, dum-dums. I mean, if you really want exclusive,
right,
you got to pay more. It got to the point where basically Billy or one of his crew, they would be hounded by people like, you said I'm going to go to Hamilton tomorrow night. I need my tickets. And they would go to StubHub and then pay an exorbitant amount and then just give the tickets at a loss. This is not a way to fund a business, but he got bored of it. But while he was having these parties, he became friends with Ja Rule. I don't know anything about Ja Rule. He's handsome. He seems fun. He had a big career in the late 90s, early aughts, but maybe not as much now. He went to jail for a bit.
Yeah, I know him more. He did a lot of songs with they were kind of slower hip hop songs, mm-hmm. with J-Lo or Ashanti, I think is how you pronounce, mm-hmm. her name, you know, and it's just like, what's my name? What's my name? And
hello, hello.
Going, you know, I love you. What's my name? You know, stuff like that.
More than me. Well, Ja Rule was out of jail and was looking to get into the tech world because everybody's starting to get into the tech world. Not exactly Jay-Z level big, but it was a big deal to Billy and his friends. So Ja Rule joins the board. And this is when Billy creates something called Fire Media. And why he spells it F-Y-R-E, who cares? But he calls it Fire because he has to he uses weird names for things all the time.
Which, by the way, I just keep calling it Fry.
I see. It's very hard not to say Fry. It's F-Y-R-E.
Yeah.
So then Billy's next big idea is, why don't I develop an app that would help people book talent directly? Like if you want Ja Rule for your office Christmas party, or you want Aerosmith at your bar mitzvah, you just use this app on your phone. And I say, well, that's stupid, because if you are going to pay the millions you would need to pay to have Aerosmith, not the millions for Ja Rule, but if you want big people, you can you know who to call and you can make it happen. You're not just going to do it. It's like Cameo, those Cameo videos.
Yeah.
It's that, except booking the person in person. And a lot of artists don't want to deal with that nonsense. They'd rather just give that to somebody else. You book the gigs, you set up my calendar, I'll do the things, right? And they want to have that separation. They don't want to be that close. They don't want to be that close to you. If you have enough money to hire Steven Tyler to read the Torah, you'll call his manager for him. You would not use an app. But Billy and Ja Rule were on a business trip in the Bahamas. And I saying business trip in quotes, make sure you were. But yeah. They were flying around there in a small plane, and the plane had to make an emergency landing for fuel, to refuel. And that's when they saw this beautiful island. And they looked around and said, oh my God, wouldn't it be incredible to have a festival here? And we'll call it the Fire Festival, and that will promote our app. I know. It's like Coachella.
All of this was to promote their shitty app.
To promote a shitty app. Mm-hmm. Not even
for their for their celebrity DoorDash.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So they get the idea to do this, and it's like Coachella on the beach with young people dancing to the hottest bands. And I wrote down like Blink 182. And to sleep in private villas on the shoreline. And according to their events manager, Andy King, more on him later, to run a proper festival, he said, great, but we're going to need at least a year. You have to create the infrastructure. And that's just for the first festival. Billy said, yeah, about that. We have about 3 months.
I hate people that do this kind of shit.
They're just like, don't tell me your problems. Tell me your solutions. One of those, that bullshit things.
Yeah.
The first step, if you're going to have a festival, is you need a social media campaign. And everybody, I don't know if you ever hear this from your clients. It's so annoying to me. People are like, how do we go viral? Which is the dumbest question.
At my old job, I would hear stuff like that all the time. And they thought social media was like this magic wand that I could just wave and like make things popular. And I'm like, that's not how it works.
And I'm like, how much money do you have? It's like that cheese sandwich is like a happy accident. Like for the most part, you need money and you need good content and you got to just put out decent content. So what they did was that was really smart is they went to the location. And it was beautiful weather, and they had the most famous models. I mean, we have Bella Hadid. We have, I don't know if Kendall Jenner was there, but they have Emily Ratajkowski, whatever her name is. She was in Gone Girl. They have gorgeous models on the beach. They have pigs on the beach, pigs that like swim in the water and yachts.
I would go for the pigs.
I would definitely go for pigs. I want to hug a pig so bad. They're out in this beautiful island, and they're saying things like, come jet skiing, stay on a yacht, have beer and do shots with people at a bar, all this stuff. And you're at Pablo Escobar's island. And Pablo Escobar was a total fucking asshole, and he should be on our list to talk about one day.
Yeah, no shit. It's like, oh, I want to party like that guy, like that fucking monster.
Fucking creep, yeah.
Yeah.
And they pay Kendall Jenner, who has 75 million followers. It always floors me.
Yeah.
Because, like, how are there that many people in the world? But
She's very interesting, Margo. She has a lot to say.
Fascinating.
She's a self-made billionaire.
I'll say this. They're making their money. They really do, you know, whatever they got going for them, they're going to use it to the bitter end. And I do respect that. But they paid her up front $250,000. They said also paid 250 other social media people, not as much. But they all put on an orange square in their Instagram feed. It's brilliant. And then you clicked on it, and then this video came up. And then they're like, hey, man, we're going to have a festival in April. Sign up for more information. And the funny fucking thing is people do it. Mm-hmm. And I should say the social media campaign was run by a company called Fuck Jerry.
Oh, yes. Fuck Jerry.
So what do you know about Fuck Jerry?
Just they're in the documentaries. I totally forgot about them. They're assholes too.
They're kind of assholes. They are behind the Netflix documentary. So they always look like we do it. I don't know. The clients, I don't know. And the Hulu documentary, they're a little more complicit. But anyway, allegedly, I don't know. But I don't want to get sued. They're running the promos. They're running the campaigns. And Fuck Jerry, they were also in trouble because they used to steal memes from people and not credit them. They charge, I think it's like $50,000 for a post or whatever that is. They have a 15 million people in their Instagram feed. So they're very, but that's, you got to pay for publicity. Yeah. I mean, it's just not.
Can I pay you in Bitcoin?
NFT, whatever the hell that is. That's what Ja Rule has. Mm. Let's use that. Well, they brag about being at the private island of Pablo Escobar. It actually isn't the private island of Pablo Escobar. Never was. And it really pisses off the real owners of the island who are like, fuck you. You're not doing that shit here. So they got to book another island. And that island looks very different from the one in the promo. The one in the promo, everything's near the water. In the new island, everything's like 5 miles away. So that's already kind of like a big difference.
The fact that they went public and pushed all this stuff out before mm-hmm. like anything was fucking ready or finalized.
Yep.
Oh,
and I should
so
say,
stupid.
At the time, they're very strict about it now, the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, but you have to put on your social media if there's something that's an advertisement. If you're being paid by somebody to post something, you have to actually say, "This is I'm being paid for this." Right. And they didn't do that at the time. So it sort of that's lent this credibility like, oh, Kendall Jenner's going to be there. You know,
I can't wait to see Blink 182 with with one of the Kardashians.
Can I go jet skiing with Khloe? That would be awesome. Now, there's the staff that's working the festival. There's also the staff of about 25 people that are working on the app. And you meet these people and it breaks your heart because they're very smart. They're working very, very hard. The tech world is very challenging. You work long, long hours. There's so many people with so many apps, with so many ideas, and everybody thinks theirs is going to be the thing that breaks through. And
yes.
So they're working round the clock. They have no idea what's going on. But anyway, to staff the event, they have to build the stage. They have to get these villas. They have no infrastructure. There are no toilets. There's nothing. There's no place to take tickets.
Seems like a big deal when there's no toilets.
Would be for me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, the one guy there is like, you need thousands of toilets. And they're like, yeah. And then they don't do it. I'm like, oh my God. How many outhouses have you took a dump in? How many of those portable porta potties?
I have some that I refuse to. I've like blocked them out of my mind.
Yeah.
I've like eternal sunshine of the spotless mind. Mm-hmm. Had them erased from my memory because they're the most horrible things in the world.
Is there anything that smells worse? Or they just feel skeevier? But anyway, yeah. So they hire people in the Bahamas to work the event. And there's so much to do. And people in the Bahamas are not used to working round the clock, let's just say. It's not like Silicon Valley.
Right.
It's an island mentality.
Yeah. There's in the tech world, there is this almost like a leap of faith that some people who work in tech are willing to do where they, you know, I'll get stock options and mm-hmm. I'm going to put in my time and this shit's going to pay off. They're almost gambling. The people in the Bahamas are not those people. These are people who are like, I'm putting in work. You need to fucking pay me.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not going to work 24 hours a day because that's bullshit.
Yep.
Which they are correct.
They're absolutely correct about that. When the sun goes down, I'm at the bar. Y'all, yes. Bye.
should move to the Bahamas.
I totally want to move to the Bahamas now. So they hire these people from all the islands to come over and help them. And there's no money coming in on the site. And Billy is saying, Fire Media is worth $90 million. And he's going in and out in these private planes. So people think, shit, he's got to have money. There's got to be money there. He's constantly, what does they say, robbing Peter to pay Paul. There's this expression about he's borrowing so much money to put off. You know, Bernie Madoff did this too. And it's this, this spin, this circle that they put themselves in, which is run by sociopathy. Like, you just don't care. You just want to appear a certain way, and that's that.
Yeah, for our listeners, you might do this on a way smaller scale where it's like, this is the month I'm going to pay my cable.
Yes.
And next month I will pay for my power.
Yeah, I'm totally into that.
Mm-hmm. That's Sonia in college. Many apartments with no power.
The app is not working, by the way, that the people in New York, and then all of a sudden, some of them have to come to the Bahamas to help out on the weekends. It's just this total shit show. Starting with, they promised people luxury villas. If you, you know, they, and they would look like you would have like a little salon by the beach. Mm-hmm. And all of the people who posted on social media were guaranteed luxury villas. They didn't have them. None of these things were built. Nothing was built. Instead, they got FEMA tents, which is Federal Emergency Management Association.
So bad.
When we have hurricanes in America and there's devastation, you call FEMA and they could provide emergency care. So they get that's what it is.
Yeah, it's far from these lovely lips that they were picturing with these, like, you know, plush, soft beds. And
No. They just threw a couple of mattresses in there and that was it.
God, it's so awful.
It's so bad. And these packages were, the people were paying a pretty penny. You know, they're paying a couple of thousand just for that. And they think it's going to be 2 days and there's going to be lots of bands and it's going to be cultural and I'll be around really good looking people and I'll market and I'll also like have fun. It's a vacation. And
they invited all these like social media influencers too. So it's like all these people with a lot of followers who are coming and they're expecting a certain thing and they're not going to get it. I don't know what the end game here was because this was not going to go well.
I think just to pivot a little bit, I mean, just a distraction, not even pivot, but just to distract for just a second.
Yeah.
When Woodstock happened in 1969, it was same thing. Like they had a stage. They did have actual tickets, LOL, that people bought. My friend's husband bought them. He told me about it.
Nerd.
He kept it with him, but he said, I felt like such an asshole. Like, how much was it? He goes, probably like $5. It wasn't nothing. But anyway, Woodstock had, if you don't know, they had massive rain. The equipment was almost going to electrocute people on stage. They had mudslides. They had the brown acid that people were freaking out over. There was traffic jams for days because a million people showed up when they thought they're, if they were lucky, maybe 50,000. Everything went wrong and everything was amazing at the same time. A couple of people died from drug overdoses. Okay. And one person was run over by a tractor. But that happens. But
sure, that happens at all the concerts.
I think the tractor flipped over on them.
So awful.
This is terrible. And a baby was born there. So it kind of evens itself out. But people got along and people, and they were just sturdier then. They don't, like, nowadays, we don't do that. We don't do that hardy shit. Like, this is not Naked and Afraid. These people think they're going to be someplace plush and nice. And that, I think they get themselves in that feeling. Well, remember, you know, I heard at Woodstock, nothing worked. And boom, it, you know, look what happened. They also went broke. They also were in lawsuits for years. I mean, not everything great happened, but I think that's a part of everybody else. And Billy just was like, I don't want to hear excuses. I just want you to keep working. And I think you can get to a mindset like you're just so exhausted that you just keep momentum forward. And people tried to stop him. They sent him emails. There's one guy who sent an email to Billy and he CC'd Ja Rule and another person and said, can you picture somebody showing up and they don't have a place to sleep and they don't have a place to stay? What if somebody shows up and they're sick or they're diabetic or something? Like, we have nothing to help these people. This is going to look really bad. Why don't we, and there was the idea for a second, like, why don't we move this to November? But he said, no, it's got to happen now. They have no advertisers. Like, there's all these reasons to just postpone it, but he didn't do it.
It might have been a huge success.
In November?
If he waited.
If he waited. I mean, if he took a year to do it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could have been his thing. You get 1,000 sponsors, and then that's what you live off of. I don't know. Guy's a fucking asshole. Who cares?
He is.
They sell thousands of tickets. They had no rooms for all of these people. Oh, my God. So he had, at one point, Billy had to take a loan at the last second. He was telling everybody he had $90 million. He did not have $90 million. Mm-mm. He was very much in the red. He, at one point, takes a loan for $3 million, and he has to pay back 50% of it in 30 days with 20% interest. So then Billy's idea is, tell everybody they got to buy a wristband and put money on the wristband because there's going to be cash free at this festival. And it's like 2 weeks out. And they have people calling his people, calling these people saying, you need to put at least $1,000 there. You should put at least like $500 a day. And people did it.
Yeah.
Because they thought they'd get stranded if they didn't. So that was like $800,000 that came in. That still, though, it wasn't enough to kind of save everybody. And then also, people didn't know how they were going to get to the site. They're supposed to land in Miami, and then they think they're getting a private plane. And it's like, dummies, do you know how many private planes it would take 1,000 people to this mm-hmm. one little island? Like, it would just... So they were kind of shocked when it was kind of this janky, like a 727. Super low economy. And some of them were social media people, like... perfect hair and makeup and outfits, and you could tell they're like, this is, you know, I'm used to better treatment than this, I'm used to doing better. But I think a lot of them were remarkably like good natured, like they're just mm-hmm. kind of rolling with it
at first.
But before they get there, a lot of people were writing, and they're writing the emails, and they're sending DMs to their social media saying, where are my tickets, where do I go, how do I get there, I have no information. And the person who ran the social media would just forward along the important ones, he said, the important emails and questions. And he was told, you have to delete everything else because the ratio was really bad, which you shouldn't do.
No.
It's really, really bad. And that's what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so these people show up, and at one point, the band start realizing that this is a shit show. And Blink-182 was one of the first to announce, we can't put on the show we'd really like to do for the fans, so we're not going to go. And one of the guys in the Netflix documentary is like, well, I've never seen them before, so I don't know why it would make a difference, but okay. They just kind of went along with it. Billy, like I said, was warned repeatedly to cancel the event. He wouldn't do it. The very night... In the middle of the night, before they're showing up for the first day, a huge storm hits the island, and it drenches all of the tents, all of the bedding, the stage. It's almost hurricane level. It's a bad storm. And they're all like, fuck, this is not going to be great.
Mm-mm.
And now we get to the day of Fyre Festival. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
People show up in these janky planes. They land, and they thought that they didn't know how they were going to, it's 5 miles to get anywhere. That's a long way to walk.
Yeah. They're not anywhere near the site. They're not by water.
Right.
It's
not like New York, you know, where you're walking like a bunch of blocks. You're like, oh, I've got things to look at. Like, you're out in the middle of nowhere with your luggage. Oh, they didn't even have their luggage mm-hmm. with them. First, they go to a site where there's a bar. And the people that worked at the bar were instructed, just get them drunk. And so people were just doing shots. And like, they're giving them just bottles of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get answers, and nobody knows what to do. They don't know how to collect tickets. They don't know how to give out wristbands. They don't know how to give out the tents. And Billy just stands up on top of a thing and is talking to people. And then he just says... So you look out and you see these FEMA tents. He says, just go grab a tent. Just do what you can. Go grab a tent. And it's Lord of the Flies time here.
Oh, my God. It goes. Yeah.
One guy I fucking hate. He's like, we were going to be on the perimeter. He says there was no way we're going to have people around us. So they like put holes in the tents around them and pissed on their mattresses. People got feral.
Oh, my God. People are crazy.
They are crazy. Well, I wouldn't like that. I mean, I would be the first one like, where's the hotel? Is there an Airbnb I could just check out for tonight? And some people were smart enough and did that. But anyway, they're in these tents. These mattresses are soaked. Then this bus shows up and it's got their luggage. And so somebody's like, yeah, there's like 20,000 pieces of luggage that all look the same.
Yeah. They just dump it off, right?
They just dump it off.
Yeah.
No food.
So shitty.
It's late. It gets to be late. There's no food, no water. And so
all these people are trashed.
Trashed. Dehydrated. Yeah. And it's a miracle nobody got really hurt.
Yes.
And so they're at the tents. And then there are people like, fuck this, I'm flying my ass back home. And if you were lucky, you did. If you weren't, you were locked in the airport. They put a lock and chain around the doors at the airport. Those people were in there. There was two toilets, no food, no water, no air conditioning. And
people could have died.
They absolutely could have. And I'm like, even in a nice airport, if I have to wait a couple hours, I get like, ugh, I just get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It drains you.
It's very draining. And as this is happening, somebody gets the cheese sandwich. We were just talking at the top of the show, Trev for president. And that's when the media starts picking up. They have no food. They have no infrastructure. And the first people are like, these asshole 20 somethings. Good for them. Learn a life lesson. Walk it off, you assholes. Paying all that for Blink 182. Fuck you. It's easy to do that.
Yes.
But you have to have some compassion for certain things. First of all, the people that worked at Fire Media had no fucking clue. That was just their job, and they're just doing what their boss tells them to do. They're tired. They're exhausted. Ja Rule doesn't know anything. He can't do anything. Bless his heart.
Mr. Ja Rule, what do you think?
Mr. Rule, let's say
what's my name? What's my name? By the way, I don't know any of his songs. He probably doesn't even have a song like that.
I'm such a dork. I don't know either. But anyway, there's people that work on the islands, and there's also the people like he imported booze onto the island, which the tax for that is just there's so many dumb choices. He didn't pay. There was one guy named Andy. Is it not Andy Kim? That's the guy from Rock Me Gently. Andy King. He was the events person, and he said, I was gone for a couple of days for America's Cup. I come back, and then they tell me there's four things of water. There's trucks filled with Evian water.
This story is so famous.
And they're keeping it at the, what's the name of the office that I'm thinking of? Where he's the tourism board?
Customs?
Oh, customs. I think it was customs. And he's not releasing it. They imported the alcohol, they imported the water, and they're not releasing it. And it's like the day or two before the event. And so Billy tells Andy, you're gay. You need to take one for the team. Basically saying to him, you should have oral sex with that person.
Yeah.
So that they will then release this. And he was willing to do it.
Yeah. It's like, you need to go down there and blow that guy. So yeah. He'll like release our water for us. And he's like, I guess I could. So sad.
All of them they're all just deteriorated. They're just tired.
Yeah.
And they just want to get this to going. But then the people on the island, there's a woman that had the bar there at the island, and she paid all these people to work for her 24/7, feeding these crews, keeping it going. Billy, when he realizes how bad it's going to be, takes off. And Ja Rule.
Cool.
They just take off the island. So they're all left going on here. And then you find out about this woman who worked at the restaurant. She paid people with her own money, $50,000. That was all of her life savings. Billy didn't pay her back.
No.
And there's lots of stories about
it's
that.
It's so awful.
It's
these were some of these people were not. People. Yeah. Not wealthy people.
No. And they have rent to pay. And then, like, people associated with Billy were being stalked by people on the island because they wanted to get paid. And they're like, this guy flies around with a jet and says he's worth millions. Where's our goddamn money? You know, it's just a total fucking shit show. The press talks about it. And at first it's a joke. And then you realize Billy's been running a huge scam. And he's been telling potential investors that he's worth a hell of a lot more than he actually is. That their app that the Magnesis that he said was like this huge success and had thousands and thousands and thousands of subscribers. It made them exactly $60,000 in 1 year.
Cool. He's rolling in it. That's more than enough to bankroll a whole music festival.
He cooked the books.
Yeah.
He totally cooked the books. And by the way, at this point, the FBI knew about it. So they saw the festival and they're like, this guy's going to take off. We got to strike while the iron's hot. So on June 20th, 2017, he was arrested and charged with wire fraud and was released on $300,000 bail. But Billy decided he wanted to run one more scam.
Did he pay his bail with his Magnesis card?
He made it sound terrible, like he moved in with his parents in the basement. I'm like, his parents are rich. He's like, it's probably a nice house. Give me a break.
Right.
Give me a fucking basement break.
Basement / fucking guest house.
That you could charge, you know, rent for if you wanted to. Right. That could be your income. Okay. He gets a hotel room in New York and he gets a few of his old buddies together and he wants to make money because he had to give up all his money to the government. So he starts pretending that he's selling tickets and they use the Firefest email. So stupid. The email list, excuse me, and the contact list, and reached out to all of these people and said, would you like tickets to the Met Ball? You can't get tickets to the Met Ball. You have to be invited to go.
Yes.
You want to go to the Grammy Awards? We've got your tickets. You want to see Hamilton? We got your tickets. You want to go see Adele? We've got tickets. He didn't have tickets.
He didn't learn his lesson.
He didn't learn his fucking lesson. He kept fucking doing it in front of a camera. He brought cameras with him this whole time I'm talking to you. He paid camera people. He sent out shitty emails. I mean, everything was traceable.
He's so stupid.
He's such a fucking asshole. So Billy was charged again with wire fraud in March of 2018, and he was sentenced to 6 whole years in federal prison for his crimes. Mm. I forgot to mention, he also, the Monday after they came back from the festival, he was very somber and they had a group call and he said, I'm really sorry, you guys. And Ja Rule is yelling, come on, it wasn't that bad. Come on, everybody, let's do this. And someone says, Ja Rule, this was fraud that we committed. He goes, this was not fraud. Wait a second. No, no, no. He's like, it's false advertising.
Thank you, Mr. Rule.
Thank you. Ja Rule was also, Billy was being sued left and right at this point. Ja Rule was named in some of the lawsuits, but they quickly realized, like, this guy didn't do anything. Never mind.
He just kind of lent his name.
Exactly. Billy's in prison right now. He's in a prison in Ohio. He tried to get released early last year for fear of catching COVID. Hmm. But the government said, nah. Billy also tried his hand at podcasting and started a podcast from prison, which he's not allowed to do. And he was shot down there as well. Mm-hmm. And so in a couple of years, he's 30 years old now. In a couple of years, he'll be out. He's not allowed to run any company. I'm sure he's not allowed to be on the board of anything. I can't imagine. But I can also imagine this guy's going to do something super fucked up in the future.
He totally is. He's not going to learn anything.
I don't think he has any regret. I'm sure he has slight regrets. Oh, I forgot to tell you. He fired everybody at Fire Media en masse on a phone call. Mm-hmm. And the way he did it is like, hey, guys, just so you know, I don't have any money for payroll for any time in the future. So you can come in and work if you want, but I can't pay you. And then the people on the call were like, so can we file for unemployment? He goes, oh, I don't know what that is. No, they couldn't.
No.
So they were just out of a fucking job, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Working on this app nonstop, working on the festival nonstop. He just fucking let them, just fired him and didn't give a shit. So, I mean, fuck this guy for so many reasons.
And all of those people were like, you might as well just, you know, he's like, well, you could just keep working because I'm not really going to fire you, but I'm not going to pay you either.
Right.
Yeah. It was really fucked up.
It's super fucked up. And guess what? Put that on your resume and see how great you do. I mean, you'll get an interview for sure, but...
That's true. It might help you get your foot in the door, but it may not get you hired.
No, it's ridiculous. And that's our creep this week, you guys. Billy McFarlane.
He's such a piece of shit.
I do have a PS to that. The woman I mentioned before that ran The Stand, her name was Marianne Roll. She ran that restaurant I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. He took off with $50,000. He didn't pay her back. Someone set up a GoFundMe campaign for her, and they raised $233,000 with it.
Oh.
But for a second time, she almost got scammed because a friend of hers who set it up tried to steal it.
Oh, my God.
They didn't. But I'm sure she doesn't trust fucking anybody anymore.
Right? Seriously. Seriously. He's a garbage person.
He's total garbage.
And he is 100% going to be one of those people that gets out and tries shit again.
Yeah. Keep your eye on him, FBI.
Yeah, exactly. Good job, Margo.
But you don't have to work overtime. He'll lead you there.
He'll film it. He'll film it and post it on Instagram and TikTok and all of that. Yep. You don't need to worry. He'll do all the dirty work for you. Good job, Margo.
Thank you.
Do you want to hear about someone who's not a creep?
Yes, please.
Okay. I want to talk about Sarah McLachlan. She is a Canadian singer, songwriter. She's an activist. She has sold more than 40 million albums worldwide. And I picked her because she founded the Lilith Fair. Did you ever go to that?
No.
I did. And if y'all don't know what it is, because maybe you're super young, it was a huge concert tour. It went from, well, it ran in 97, 98, 99. They did another one in the summer of 2010. And it was all female artists. And it was kind of a big deal because there was like the Horde Festival, Lollapalooza, you know.
Woodstock.
The other Woodstock, the like second Woodstock.
There's the second and third, right?
Yeah. And then there's all these. I mean, I know here in the Bay Area, we had something called BFD, you know, which is like the Live 105 show. I think you'd have like Rock the Bells or whatever. And they were almost always like super dude heavy. They're big sausage fests. And she was really frustrated that concert promoters and radio stations would never, like on a radio station, you could never hear like two female musicians in a row. Or they wouldn't book like two women to tour together because they felt like they couldn't make money. So in 97, she started the Lilith Fair. It was huge. So I'm going to go through some of the people that did it. So it was like Sarah McLachlan, Sheryl Crow, Tracy Chapman, Jewel, Paula Cole, Suzanne Vega. This is a whole bunch. Fiona Apple.
Wow.
Lisa Loeb, Indigo Girls, Natalie Merchant, Liz Phair, Bonnie Raitt. This is just some of the like higher level people. There was also like smaller stages. Luscious Jackson. I love them. Missy Elliott, the Dixie Chicks, all these women, they all played at the Lilith Fair. The first year it grossed $16 million. It was like the top grossing touring festival that year. Over the 3 years that it ran, it did more than 2 million people went, and it raised more than $7 million for charity.
Wow.
Because for every ticket they sold, they donated a dollar to a local women's shelter.
Holy
in that
shit,
town.
That's great.
Yeah. And so some of those checks, some of that money that went to these shelters, it was the difference between keeping those shelters open or shutting them down. So it's actually a huge thing that she did by doing that. And I went to first Lilith Fair. And I have to say, it was really cool and a totally different vibe. I think festivals can be really fun. I don't think I have the stomach for them anymore because I'm old and I don't like to use porta potties. And now I'm afraid of crowds and like I'm afraid I'd get COVID. But back in the day, I really enjoyed that stuff. And it was just such a different vibe because it was mainly women there. And, you know, it was like a lot of women like sharing blankets and borrowing sunscreen from each other. And like, there was just like no angry, like slam dancing and all that. It was just very mellow. is what I remember.
No show us your tits signs.
No show us your tits. No, like, you're going to get groped while you're in line for food. You know, none of those things were happening. And it's not that there weren't men there, because there were men there. Like, men like this music too. And, you know,
and they want to get laid.
And they want to get laid. Totally. If you want, that's where the chicks are, man. You got to go to Lilith Fair. So there were men there, but it was just a very different vibe. But I think the big thing that I loved was that, one, she didn't rip anyone off. And two, she was able to raise money for these local shelters, which I think is super amazing. I also wanted to point out that, like, everyone knows the super sad song Angel. It's like I can't even listen to the song. It's the biggest fucking bummer of a song. And they use it in all those ASPCA advertisements, you know,
with these animals. It's like in a shelter, yeah. Like they're abused and like a doggy pound or something. Yes. And there's like a little tear going down its little face. And then cat that's starving. And then there's a goat kind of limping. It's just like, kill me. I can't. No. It hurts too much. I look away when that commercial comes on. I can't deal with it.
I have literally hurt myself trying to like change the channel mm-hmm. fast to avoid looking at the commercial, because it will make me bawl every single time. But she like gave them that song for that, and they've raised $30 million since they started airing those commercials,
which is
like
great.
They're a very effective commercial.
Yes.
Like, it's very, very.
Here's my money. Take it. Yeah, please, just don't show the commercial. Please.
Like, whatever. And Sarah McLachlan also started a school of, it's called the Sarah McLachlan School of Music. It is a nonprofit, and it offers music education and mentorship at no cost to 1,000 at-risk and underserved children in Vancouver and Surrey and Edmonton
mm-hmm.
in Canada. And I think that is fucking rad, too.
She is rad.
She's a good person. And I really like her music. I know that it's like a certain kind of like it could be like kind of soft. And
is she the one that says, I don't want to wait?
No, that's Paula Cole.
That's Paula Cole. Okay.
Who also played at Lilith Fair.
Was it Meredith? What's her face?
Meredith Brooks.
No, that's from Salt Lake City, I think. Are they the same? Yeah. Is that the same name?
Yeah. Meredith Brooks, right?
I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a blah, 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 blah.
That was her. Lisa Loeb was there. Jewel. I definitely saw Jewel. I think Fiona Apple played the one I saw. You know, Natalie Merchant was really popular at this time. She played. But Sarah McLachlan was like building a mystery.
Oh, I love that song.
I love that song. Possession, the one about like the obsessive fan. She has a lot of World on Fire. I love Sarah McLachlan.
She's great.
I'll listen to her after this.
Yeah.
But that's our Not a Creep.
Yeah, listen to her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great choice, Sonia.
Thank you.
So if you like the sound of our voices, we also co-host a podcast called Dorking Out, where we mainly dork out about movies. Right now we have Jagged Edge.
Oh, it is one of my favorite episodes we've done in a while. I love all of our episodes, but
that one makes me laugh. It made me giggle.
When we are really in our sweet spot when mm-hmm. we do 80s thrillers.
And 90s like, thrillers, yeah.
Yeah, thrillers are kind of our jam, I think.
Well, our next one is going to be, what's it going to be?
The Big Chill.
The Big Chill. We should have a lot to say about that movie. I'm excited mm-hmm. about that. You can follow us on all the things. We love it when you use the GIF of Annie Potts and Ghostbusters. We got one. If you have suggestions for creeps or non-creeps, because we often need suggestions for non-creeps. It's kind of hard for us sometimes to come up with
Correct.
Somebody. Feel free. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, sometimes Margo gives you a heads up of the creep that's coming. And if you instantly think of someone who would be like the not a creep for that, please send it our way, because sometimes it's harder to find the not a creep.
You could join our Facebook group. Once again, it is a private group. It's What a Creep Podcast Group. We're on Twitter at Creep Pod. We're on Instagram, What a Creep Podcast. Our email, once again, is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. If you would like some stickers, just send us an email. We'll drop them in the mail for you. The mail right now kind of stinks. It's not the fault of the people that work there. postal workers are amazing people and essential workers. It's just the douchebag working on it here that runs it is really.
And hopefully he's going to get the boot soon.
I don't know why he hasn't already. That just makes me crazy. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. Maybe he'll be our creep one of these days when he's gone.
He will.
When he's gone. And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram and occasionally TikTok because I'm there to ruin it for the young people. Where can people find you, Margot?
You can find me at Brooklyn Fit Chick for Twitter and Instagram. I'm also on the TikTok. I don't post anything, but I will check out your stuff. You can follow me at Margot Donahue there. And my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And we'll be back soon with a new episode. But in the meantime, get your vaccinations. Still practice social distancing until we have herd immunity. I can't wait to hug you guys in person one of these days. We can have an event or something. It would be amazing. And don't be a creep.
Creep.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.